On this episode of the Oklahoma Breakdown with Iker and Lehman, presented by Riverwind Casino, we recap OU Pro Day, then we talk about some of the drama going on with OU basketball and FGTB, and we finish with our winners and losers of the week. Please download and subscribe to the podcast, rate it 5 stars, and write us a good review. Follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Just search Oklahoma Breakdown on any of those, and you'll find us. All right, our man Michael Hosty will kick this thing off. It's time for the Oklahoma Breakdown. It's a beautiful Wednesday, March 13th, and you're listening to the Oklahoma Breakdown with Iker and Lehman, presented by Riverwind Casino. Riverwind is Oklahoma City's premier casino experience, and there's so many reasons why Riverwind is consistently voted OKC's number one casino, but it all starts with their amazing variety of gaming thrills and excitement. Riverwind's beautiful, award-winning environment plays host to more than 2,800 of the latest electronic games with a huge selection of table games, including blackjack, blackjack match, roulette, and Teddy's favorite, craps. No matter what your game, Riverwind has it in spades and hearts. And to learn more about their gaming promotions and entertainment options in the month of March, all you got to do is visit Riverwind.com. Riverwind Casino, simply the best. Now, recording this Tuesday night, please leave us a 5-star review and a nice comment. Also, if your business wants to advertise on the podcast, please email us at theoklahomabreakdown@gmail.com. Ted, we were recording Tuesday night because we wanted to get your fresh reaction to OU Pro Day. Before anything left that big brain of yours, I wanted to get your thoughts.
It's smart. Before I close my eyes and go to sleep for the night, it'll be as if this thing never even happened tomorrow. So, yeah, it was good, man. I thought it was awesome. All 32 teams represented there. Got to get some numbers on some guys. Was really curious about what some of them were going to look like. Was surprised by some things. Were you surprised that Rame didn't do anything?
I don't know what's going on. And I text you. I text Plank. I asked Plank, hey, how's Rame looking? And then they started the offensive line drills, and he wasn't out there. Is he hurt? Like, did anyone have?
I
just need to text the guy and be like, hey, what? Why didn't you participate? Because it is very odd to have the opportunity, right? When you've got a guy like Tyler Guyton, who a lot of people view as a first round type of guy, you can have all kinds of offensive line coaches and decision makers watching that drill session, and to not participate in that makes zero sense.
Yeah, I don't know. He was in street clothes. So I don't know. I was surprised right away. I thought, well, maybe he's not going to do the drills. He's fine with whatever he put out there.
No, see, that's the thing is you only don't do the drills if you're like a locked top 15 pick.
Right, yeah.
Banged
up. His numbers were lower than we thought they were going to be.
At the combine,
Yeah, so maybe he's tweak something and worried about re-injuring. I don't know.
That is the only thing that makes sense. Mm-hmm. If someone told him not to do the drills and he's healthy, then he just got bad advice. I don't know why you would miss that opportunity when so many guys are there watching Guyton closely. He has to be injured, right? There's got to be something wrong. That's the only thing that makes sense.
The only thing that I could think of. Yeah, because, I mean, it's not like you got two draft pick tackles that are out there, you know? I mean, Guyton's a first rounder, and And Rouse is easily going to get drafted. I don't know where, but you got two guys, two offensive linemen that are going in the draft, and you would think that you're going too. You'd like to be out there with him. So I mean, I don't know. I hope that, well, I don't hope that he's injured, but think, I hope that he has a reason, I guess is what I'm saying.
The only reason that makes sense is him being hurt. You cannot convince me for any other reason that he should not have done the drills. I don't know, man. Hopefully we can get to the bottom of it. But yeah, that was strange.
Yeah, I don't know. That was one of the weird things. I guess, overall, I thought it was pretty interesting. I thought Coe performed really well. He ran a 4.9 at over 300 pounds, was really strong on the bench press. Lu'ulu looked good. I mean, all his numbers were strong, and just because of his size, 6'6", 292, and he could do a lot of things. I thought he performed well. I thought Reggie Pearson performed well. I really liked how Walter Rouse looked. He's just a good looking football player. He moves well. He checks all of the boxes on all the measurement stuff. He's smart. Like he's an easy draft pick. He's an easy draft pick,
So, as I was watching it, and by the way, just a tremendous job on the broadcast by you and Chad McKee and Caleb
Appreciate
Kelly.
it.
Fantastic coverage. Luckily, it was short, only just short of 3 hours for you, Ted. I know
Three
you had to
hours.
just really enjoy how long it went. No, as I was watching, it's funny. Before you started seeing the guys move around, just talking about the O-lineman, Walter Rouse is the guy that looks like the first rounder.
No.
When you just see him standing there, the way that he is built, he looks like an NFL offensive lineman. Now, I think Tyler Guyton is going to develop physically, and that's why I think his best football is ahead of him, because I think he's going to make the necessary strength gains and kind of transform his body. But Rouse is the guy that when you look at everyone that was there, you go, who the hell is that guy? Like, that's how he's built. And I thought he put up some good numbers, man.
You would have loved it. Did you happen to see the little flexibility drill they put everyone through?
Oh yeah.
Rouse out there doing splits and
I was working out. This is a true story. I was working out as I was watching the O-line go through it, and I was like, you know what, let's see if I still got it. Still got it, Ted. Still got the butt to the floor, hands over the head, butt to the floor. Oh yeah, it's still, I was a little scared as I was doing it, but that something was gonna pop, but I was able to pull it off.
I thought Walter Rouse was great. I thought Stogner looked really good. He looked in shape, he leaned up, he was moving well. The overall feeling for me is this. I don't know if Coe or if Lu'ulu are going to get drafted, or if Stogner's going to get drafted, or if Drake's going to get drafted, but I think that for the most part, I think the people that came to see these players felt better about them leaving than they did when they showed up. Does that make sense? Like, I think everyone performed good enough to improve kind of where their standing was. Like, whatever they thought of Stogner, I thought he looked great. He just looked the part. He looks huge. He's got such long arms, and he had a great vertical, and he just moved clean and efficient, and all the stuff that he did, he looked athletic. Same thing with Lu'ulu and Reggie Pearson and Drake Stoops. So, but all in all, it was just a really, really solid day for everyone.
I think out of all of the numbers that surprised me, I think Stogner having a 35-inch vert was the most surprising number of the day. I didn't know he had it. And I'm just going to be honest, man. When he put up the 4.8 540, he put up the 35-inch vert. A big part of me was going, where was this?
Yeah.
During the season.
He was smooth through the change of direction drills, too.
He looked like he was in better shape.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought his movement, the way that he looked, and I know that he's been training for this, but it seems like he should have looked more like that guy during the season. It was a little head scratching, right?
In his defense, he basically played fullback all year. You know, our offense last year was not one to take advantage of like his skill set. It's just not something that we've really done over the last couple of years. And I mean, like I said, he's a glorified fullback last year. So I don't know, but I was impressed. I was impressed with him.
How about this? I'm going to give you these numbers.
Mm-hmm.
4.8 040, 33-inch vert, 9.8 broad, 4.32 shuttle, 14 reps on the bench. Those are Blake Bell's numbers at the combine. So if I was Austin Stogner, who went 9.8 on the broad, 35 vert, 4.8 540, 4.37 shuttle, 16 on the bench. If I was Austin Stogner, I would call Blake Bell immediately and say, hey, man, what do I have to do to have a 10-year NFL career?
No kidding.
Because their numbers are nearly identical from a testing perspective.
Yeah.
And Blake's about to go in year 10.
Being able to play quarterback in a pinch would help, you know.
Doesn't hurt, but I was really impressed with what Stogner did. I thought he was going to be more of close to like a 5-flat type guy. That's what I saw this year. And I still think his future, like the length of his NFL career, is going to be dependent on his ability to block. He's never going to be a big time pass catching threat. He's just not. But can he be a traditional hand in the ground, wide tight end that is winning at the point of attack? That's what he is going to have to be. That's what Blake Bell is.
Even though it's not his strong suit and he played out of position all year, I mean, it helps that he spent a year playing H-back, fullback stuff, you know, because, you know, most teams have what? They have three, maybe four tight ends, and you got your main guy, you got your main blocker, and then you kind of got your move guy. And he can kind of – he's a versatile player. The way he looked today, he's versatile. He can play a lot of different roles.
What did you think about what Drake did?
I thought it was good. You know, the numbers, I thought he was going to be a little bit better in the three cone and the agility, the shuttle. But I think all his numbers are kind of about what you expected. I don't think anyone was thinking Drake was going to blow people away with any of his timing stuff. I thought what was really good for him was the route stuff and how they built the route tree for him, what routes he was going to run. A lot of motion stuff, a lot of quick underneath routes, little Zorro routes and double move routes. Couple of really nice, like you know, the little post corner stuff in the middle of the field. I thought it really showcased what he is best at. I thought that was really well done.
I thought his approach was professional because I heard him talking about, hey, how did you pick which routes to run? Right? Plank asked him that, and it was a great question by Plank. And he said, him and J.P. Lossman studied guys that he kind of patterned his game after, talking Cooper Kupp, Julian Edelman, studied those guys and the routes that they ran in the NFL, and that's the routes that they threw during pro day.
Like, yeah.
That's an incredibly professional approach. And, yeah, did I think his 40 was going to be I thought he was going to be a low 4.6, maybe high 4.5 type of guy. But I don't think 4.67 is going to make a bunch of teams view him differently at all.
Yeah.
But I thought in a shocking development when it came to the actual football piece of pro day, he looked his best.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's pretty much the same takeaway I had. Moved well, moved efficient. Like some of those routes he runs are just, they look great. Like even whenever he just ran, I think his first route was just like a basic, like 5 or 7 yard square in. And it just looked so good. I mean, it was exactly what you would expect from him. So I thought that was executed brilliantly by him.
Anything else really stand out? The big winner of the day had to be Laulu, right?
Yeah. Yep. He's just
36 inch vert is at that size. And it feels like he's a bit of a tweener. Ted, mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure where he fits as an NFL player.
Well, here's the thing. He's like, that's our default term, but it's different for him because it's not that we don't know where to put him. It's that we can put him anywhere. He can play a 3-4 defensive end. He can play a stand-up edge guy. He's done that. He can slide into the interior and play a 3 technique. He talked about it in his interview. I mean, he's 6'6", 292. There's plenty of room for him to put more weight on, right? He carries 292 really good. So he's a really versatile player that could do a lot.
I think that when you combine the size and length and the fact that the frame, like you mentioned, the frame can add more weight, I think there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be trying to get him on their team.
I think he gets drafted. That was one of those guys that we talked about. Like, I came away thinking he's going to get drafted because he looked good. I mean, you need good numbers, right? But you also, like, it's also how you look doing the drills, and he looked really good and smooth and athletic.
I thought that it really couldn't have gone much better for him. I thought that he was the big winner of OU Pro Day. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of teams that look at the size, look at the length measurements, and then look at the testing numbers and go, hey, let's look into the Laulu kid from Oklahoma a little more. Let's see what that guy's all about. But I thought he was good. Other than that, I have officially established where I believe Walter Roush should play in the NFL.
Okay.
33-inch vert is solid. Mm-hmm. 5.23 in the 40 is right around where I thought he'd be. The shuttle time, the three-cone time, not going to win any awards there.
His three-cone technique, I don't know if you watched it, was not very good.
Not only did I watch it, I wanted to rip my hair out as I watched it. And when Chad brought the three-cone in, he was like, this is Gabe's drill.
I knew like, whenever yes, it I watched it, I was like, it's a good thing he's not here.
Oh. And it is, it's just something you either train it the proper way or you don't.
He moved a lot better than what his time is on it.
Yes. Yes, and I thought that he looked really good, but I think he's a guard. And this is why. I think as a tackle, he can be a swing tackle for a long time in the National Football League. But I think he can be a high-level guard. I think ultimately he'll make more money playing guard. And if you need him to kick out the tackle in a pinch, okay, it is what it is. But just the way he's built, I just think that, I don't know, man, he looks like an NFL guard to me in the way that he moves. And would you rather be a tackle that maybe doesn't have the high-end athleticism or a guard that moves really well. I don't know. I just, everything leads me to believe that he would play guard at a higher level in the National Football League. And I'm not worried about him adjusting to the physicality and the differences between tackle and guard, although there's a bit of a learning curve. But I don't know, man, just how broad and thick he was looking going through that workout. I was just sitting there watching go, that's a guard. That is a good looking, like in shape, athletic offensive guard. That's just how I see it, man.
No, I like that. And I'll tell you what's crazy though. He looks great, but when he stands next to Guyton, he looks small.
Guyton's
like
enormous.
Shockingly small. Like I was like, oh my God, look at those two guys. Like, cause Guyton, you know, Rouse Guyton didn't show up until the drills. At least I didn't see him on camera until the drills. So Walter Rouse was walking around the whole time looking like the biggest dude out there. And then came time for the drills and this alien walked out of the crowd and started doing some of the stuff with him. But no, I think that there's some sound reasoning behind what you're saying. And I don't know, you think he'd have to gain?
I don't think he'd have any problem getting to where he would need to get. But this is the thing about the National Football League. You don't, if you have the play strength, teams aren't going to ask you to get to 335 pounds at guard. It's all about how you move and how you play. Like if you look good and you're able to accomplish what they want you to accomplish, they're not going to say, hey, we need you to get to 327. Like that,
right.
That, you know, it, that that's not how it works. It's about, can you get the job done or not? And if you can get the job done at somewhere between 310 and 315, then they're going to be just fine with that. So that's where we're going to get Rouse on here and we're going to talk through this. I'm going to get his thoughts. I'm sure he wants to stay at tackle. No tackle. No one wants to keep getting closer to the ball. Trust me, Ted. But the bottom line is I thought he looked really, really good during pro day. I thought he did himself some good, and I was glad to see him, you know, put up some solid times. I don't think he had any red flag numbers.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Other than horrible three cone technique, gosh.
Yeah.
Anything else? You mentioned Reggie Pearson. That three code time, I have the utmost respect for people that run a smooth, efficient three cone. 6.76. That is that time right? Because that is really dang good.
He was smooth with it. He looked good with it, and he looked good in his, you know, 5.10.5 as well. I'm assuming it's legit. He was really smooth. He looked good, smooth, athletic, was strong on the bench press. I think he put up, was he close
they
to
got
20,
21.
Something like that? 21. He looked good going through his drills. It's going to be difficult for him, you know, with the 40 time he put out there, but it wouldn't shock me at all if he's a guy that gets an invite to camp and has an opportunity to make a team.
The last thing I've got is watching Tyler Guyton move in those drills at that size. I was just sitting there watching, smiling. And, you know, we're out here and I've got my buddy Brian Schwenke and his family out here with us. And we played together in Tennessee. And he was asking me, he saw me watch. He was like, well, do they have anybody that is going to go high? I was like, this is the guy. This is Tyler Guyton. Probably going to be a first rounder. And it took Schwenke 15 seconds of watching him go, yep, checks out, makes sense. That size, the way that he is able to move so effortlessly, it's as someone that really appreciates offensive line play, it brings a smile to my face, man. I thought Guyton, with what he did, I thought he looked He looked really athletic, man, which is why so many people are so high on him.
Well, and just whenever he walks around, like some big offensive linemen, when they walk around, it looks like the concrete's cracking underneath them. Guyton, it looks like a guy that's like really light on his feet. Like he's not laboring to be a gigantic human being. He carries it effortlessly, and it clearly shows. And I think it has a lot to do with the background, playing a bunch of different positions, playing basketball, being a tight end. Just got really good feet.
Anything else?
I don't think so.
How did you feel about your performance on the broadcast?
I'd say average at best.
Did you use the proper amount of cliches? Because that's the key on those broadcasts for me and you, is we have to you have to hit the proper amount of cliches during the 3 hours or so that you're talking during pro day.
We Caleb and I cliched them to death whenever they were transitioning between drills, setting up the 40 or setting up the bench press or something. We got our fill in.
I love it. All right, let's get the caller shot. We asked you guys what stood out to you the most with OU Pro Day. And this first one comes from Jeremy LaForce, who says some of the best players don't test well. Football is more than how big you are or how fast you run. Give me a football guy over someone who is big and fast but can't block or tackle or catch a pass any day. I agree with Jeremy. Ultimately, it comes down to playing football. Now, being big, fast, and strong certainly helps most people at being good at football, but I'm not even sure who he's referencing. Did I miss something?
Is that a Drake Stoops thing, maybe, or?
I did see some stuff on social media that maybe some Texas fans were talking about Drake Stoops' times. Listen, buddy, that guy has cooked your ass. A lot. You shouldn't say anything if you're a Texas fan about Drake Stoops, okay?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, he's right, but in the NFL, the problem is most of the guys can do all of those things. Most of the guys that are out there on Sunday starting and playing are freaks in strengths and quickness and speed, and they're smart and they're strong as hell and they're physical. Like they check like the top of the top in the NFL checks all of those boxes.
I say it all the time. It's a genetics league. It just is, but that doesn't mean that there's some outliers. And I fully expect Drake Stoops to be one of those outliers.
Yeah, I do too.
Now, I've got to read this because Bad Hop Single sent us a poem as a response to Call Your Shot.
Okay.
Here we go. Stoops is gritty and shifty. And caught one long. Co got Schmitty, got big and got strong. The combine didn't want them, now prove them all wrong. On NFL rosters is where these studs belong.
How about that?
It's beautiful.
Appreciate the little poem there, Chat GPT. It's nicely done.
Way to go, Bad Hop Single. I do think Drake and Co. did themselves some good, but
No, that's right. That was good.
it was fun. Always a relief for those guys to get pro day out of the way. And now our focus shifts solely on spring practice, which I next episode we'll have some stuff. But coming up next, OU basketball drama. This is rare. We don't get this very often,
I
Ted.
know it. Let's go. Good
But
stuff.
first, Love's Travel Stops is now offering a nationwide 10-cent per gallon discount on gas and auto diesel. Just download the Love's Connect app and scan your barcode at the prompt on screen and watch that price drop 10 cents per gallon. Across the country, the Love's Connect app unlocks exclusive deals and can help any traveler plan their route or meal on the highway. So before you hit the road, Be sure to download the Love's Connect app to save 10 cents per gallon and experience the country's best highway hospitality at Love's Travel Stops. Love's also has you covered if you forget your phone charger or headphones with their expanded mobile to go zone. And of course, don't forget to grab yourself some of that delicious Java Hamore.
And celebrate with a Schooner All-American Ale, the official craft beer of OU Athletics from Coop Ale Works. Named after the iconic Sooner Schooner that races across Owen Field after an OU score, you can join in on the celebration with an ice-cold beer from Coop Ale Works. You can enjoy it at the Palace on the Prairie, at OU Athletic events, at the bar, at the tailgate, and in the comfort of your own home. For more information on Schooner All-American Ale, visit schoonerale.com. Must be 21 to purchase. Please drink responsibly. Schooner All-American Ale, the taste of game day.
And we love Simple Modern. Simple Modern is an Oklahoma-owned company whose mission is to exist to give generously, and they do. Simple Modern has given away millions to more than 100 nonprofit partners in the last 8 years, and they give away at least 10% of profits each year. We love supporting a company that's working to make a difference in Oklahoma and beyond. And Simple Modern products are also the perfect swag for any small business owner. You can customize tumblers, water bottles, and coffee mugs to give to current or potential customers. Check it all out at simplemodern.com. A drama-filled edition of Football Guys Talking Basketball, FGTB. Ted, Porter Moser has had enough of the DePaul rumors. That thing went off the rails, man.
Pretty wild. Yeah, pretty wild. I don't know what the genesis of all that was. You know, it's interesting because that rumor has really been floating around almost the entire season. Early on, that rumor, you started to hear it every now and then. People would text in the radio show and say it. So it's been something that's been out there for some time, but we reached a fever pitch yesterday.
We did. Now, it seemed like the main culprit of spreading the rumor was a Twitter account, or excuse me, an X account. Do we call it X now, or do you still call it Twitter?
Twitter.
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck in Twitter mode as well. But at Coaching Changes, who everyone that I could, from what I could tell, if you go look at who follows that account, it's all the big names when it comes to college basketball media. Like everyone. So I'm guessing that account in the past has put out some pretty substantial information, but they basically came out and said Porter Moser to DePaul was happening. And that just kind of kicked off an absolute firestorm on Twitter. OU fans were pissed. Some were basically took the approach, I'll let him leave. It's fine. Some were like, how can we lose a coach to DePaul? How does this happen? We're Oklahoma. It was a lot, man.
Yeah, it was a lot. I don't know. So I believe Porter Moser, whenever says that he's not going anywhere, he hasn't talked to anyone. But I also know that these things don't, those rumors don't start out of nowhere. Which, by the way, Coach Stoops was on the radio show today, and you know, he put out a tweet about it, and then I asked him about it on the radio show, and he said, it ain't happening, it ain't true. So I'm guessing he's talked to Porter. They're pretty close. I don't know, but I thought that was interesting. I think the theory for me is something along these lines. Probably either a conversation was had, or Porter could read between the lines that if they don't make the tournament this year, he's done. He's not going to be asked to come back. And in doing so, perhaps his agent was sniffing around for what possibilities may be out there if they don't make the tournament and he doesn't have a job at Oklahoma anymore. And in doing so, maybe this whole thing kind of like someone got wind of that and it blew up unnecessarily. But that's just a theory. Because I refuse to believe that some random account that's followed by a bunch of basketball personalities cooks up some idea out of thin air. You know what I'm saying?
The connections are easy to make, right?
Sure.
With DePaul being in Chicago, with Porter being a Chicago guy, with him having all of that success at Loyola Chicago, it makes all the sense in the world. But I don't know why the rumor just started snowballing the way that it has.
No.
But, and Porter put out a tweet, which did not realize Porter was such an emoji guy. How about that? But he said at the very end, he's like, because I've spoken to no one about any job. Just because he hasn't spoken to someone about it, we know how this business works.
Right.
Ted, and this is kind of where I'm at it with it. I really like Porter Moser. Do I want OU basketball to win more games? I absolutely do. Do I know Porter Moser wants OU basketball to win more games? Yes, that's obvious. But I think he's a good coach. I think he's a good man. But I also could see him, maybe not him, but his representation, trying to leverage DePaul's interest in him. That's his agent's job. Mm-hmm. Right? And it is not a secret that Porter wants more investment into the basketball program. From a facility standpoint, like he wants a new arena. He's talked about it openly a lot. He wants more NIL money to go get more players. He's talked about it openly. So I just think this is, it kind of just feels like business to me, where maybe his agent went, you know what? We've got an opportunity. Maybe we've got a little leverage. Now, if we want as many, as OU won as many games under Porter Moser as you want, no, but I don't know, it just feels like there was an opportunity there and maybe it just it got a little out of hand. I don't know. That's my theory. I don't know, but if he used or his agent used DePaul really wanting him to try to improve the level of investment into the OU program, I wouldn't blame him if he did that.
Yeah. The control burn got a little out of control. Is that what happened?
That's kind of how it feels, right?
Yeah. No, and I get all of that. It's I don't know. It's fascinating. We'll see where it leads. I think they just need to handle their business. Get into the NCAA tournament. I think they're in, and see what happens. I still believe that even though this team has, gosh, it really couldn't have gone, like, for the position they're in making the tournament, it really couldn't have gone worse. To be a top 10 early in the season and all these people have all changed all their expectations of what they think you should be. And then every time you had a big moment with a lot of eyes and a lot of people showing up to the games, they just did not play well. So this team has frustrated a lot of fans. I mean, they've played quite a few unwatchable basketball games this year, you know? So the team's a bit of a lightning rod.
It is crazy because it's their first 20-win regular season since 2016. You'd think we would all be excited.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like the way it all unfolded is just very – it's just not typical.
And now you've got a game coming up, or you know, Wednesday afternoon against TCU. And I'm over here trying to decide there's all these rumors and Porter's response and reaction and him being kind of pissed off about the whole thing. Does that help them play better on Wednesday or does it hurt him?
I'm over here thinking we should tank for 10, try and tank for a 10 seed instead of the, the nine, where you don't have to play a one seed in the second round.
You're yeah, I saw in Lenardi's latest bracketology there, he's got him as the nine, but I don't know. Am I more concerned about Rivaldo Suarez's ankle health or the rumors? How do the rumors affect Suarez's ankle health? I don't know. I just, this is a lot of drama for a team that's going to be a 9 or 10 seed. I don't know. It just,
No.
doesn't it feel a little bit of, it just feels off.
It feels off, but that's kind of what I'm saying is like everything this team has done this year has been dramatic, like not always in the right way. Like they start off with this great winning streak and they're in the top 10, and then, we go through a couple of bad spurts. It's been a content machine, I'll say that.
No doubt. Watch him go and win the Big 12 tournament now, fueled by the rumors. That would be extremely confusing, which would be pretty on brand for that basketball team.
Very on brand. You'd probably have to run through the number one team in the country. TCU's a quad one team. Like, I don't even know what the rest of it would look like, but it would be very difficult to pull off.
We'll see how it goes. But yeah, a lot of OU basketball drama. Let's talk a little bit about the women's team real quick. Lost to Iowa State in the semifinal of the Big 12 tournament, 85-67. Ted, they just didn't have any answers for Iowa State's offense. I mean, Audie Crooks destroyed them in the paint. And then the Cyclones just shot the absolute heck out of the basketball. A 12 of 23 from deep. So they were lighting it up for the 3-point line, and Crooks was just hooking them in the paint. And it's not the performance Jenny Baranchek and that team was looking for. But luckily, we all know the regular season title is the one that matters, not the tournament title. Come on. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what's funny, and it's kind of the same thing with the men's team. With all of this stuff going on, if they win two games in the tournament, no one remembers it, nobody cares, right? You make the Sweet 16. You erase everything. So I think the women will be fine. Listen, they've been on a nice run. Iowa State beat them in the Big 12 tournament. You're right. The regular season is the one that matters, and I think they're going to be a dangerous tournament team.
Yeah. We'll see where they end up from a seeding perspective. Hopefully they get the respect that we believe they deserve, but only time will tell. Let's finish up with our winners and losers of the week. But first,
All you grill masters, listen up. Didier Ranch delivers premium quality beef that is 100% raised in Oklahoma right to your front door. Go to DidierRanch.com, DIDIER Ranch.com to order one of their premium quality beef boxes and use promo code Oklahoma15 for 15% off your order. Filet, ribeye, New York strips, sirloin, steak burgers, they've got it all and they ship anywhere in the continental U.S. and Oklahomans can get deliveries in just 1 to 2 days. The only thing better than having a lot of premium beef on the O and D line is having premium beef delivered right to your front door. Didier Ranch, tradition tastes better.
and head to the garage for hand smash patties, butter toasted buns, and some ice cold beer. It's the perfect spot to watch any big game. And with all garage locations being open to 10 p.m. or later every night, it's the go-to late night spot. Visit eatthegarage.com to find a location near you and order online from the garage in your neighborhood. As always, Ted, kick us off. Who do you have as your winner of the week?
Baker Mayfield. We talked about this a lot. The anticipation leading up to it felt like it was a sure thing. And then, I don't know. There's some rumors floating around. Some other teams had some interest, but they settle on a deal. He's got a lot of guaranteed money. He's got 3 years, he's got incentives in there as well. And it ends up being about where we talked about it was going to be a 3-year deal. An inflation adjusted Geno Smith contract. And I like it. I think it's awesome for Baker. I like the layout of it. What is it? You get guaranteed money up front. Now the last year of the contract is not guaranteed, but some pretty good numbers the first 2 years, and $5 million in incentives, making the contract worth overall $115 million if he hits those incentives. But you know, the contract is 3 years, $100 million. So I thought it was great for Baker.
I'm thrilled for him. I really am. It's just been up and down. I thought he was thrown into a, let's go with not great situation there in Cleveland. And then what happened in Carolina. But for him to have the type of season he had and to get his career back on track, man, it was his chance to prove that he belonged to be a starter in the National Football League. And he proved it. And he's being rewarded for it. And when you really look at these contracts, you got to do a little digging to find out what's really in there. You see 3 years, $115 million, you go, oh my gosh, let's go, Bake. But really, when you boil it down, you've got the $5 million incentives all 3 years of the contract. And then you've got essentially 2 seasons where he's got total, I believe, $50 million guaranteed. Sign on the dotted line, and you know Baker Mayfield's getting $50 million. I'm thrilled for him. Now, I hope he hits all those incentives. I hope it does go to $115 million. But for him to play for, you know, the discount that he played for last season and to get rewarded, and to know you got 50 million coming your way, it's got to be a good feeling.
Yeah, and you know, 50 million coming your way, you just inked a deal, or they just inked a deal with your number one wideout, and you're at an organization that knows what they're doing, right? That's got a good track record, recently won a Super Bowl, has won Super Bowls in the past. It's a good organization in a good place, in good weather, playing in the sun. You know, it's in a division right now that's up for grabs, let's be honest. So I think everything looks like it's in a great way for Baker.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited for it. We got paid, man. Oh, good. Now, maybe this is just the start of him really racking up some total earnings in his career. That's my
Well,
hope.
I would be shocked if he's not on the commercial circuit next season. Filming a lot of them right now throughout the off season, right? Because he's a very marketable guy, and we saw how good he was with that whenever, you know, his first year or two in Cleveland, and you know, with all the buzz that he got through the playoffs there this year, I bet he's a guy that gets some good endorsement deals.
No doubt. I'm sure that's part of it as well. Being a starter, kind of being now the face of that organization and what that means from an endorsement standpoint, that it's all part of it, man. But I think every OU fan out there is fired up for Baker Mayfield. Let's go.
Gonna be
Who do
awesome.
you have as your loser of the week?
Those who do not like Aaron Rodgers' politics,
Oh boy.
because I just saw this a little while ago. He is in very strong consideration to run on the ticket with RFK Jr. as his vice president, and I guess they've been talking continuously about it. The website Kennedy Rogers or whatever has been purchased off of that domain has been purchased. So when I first saw it, I was like, this isn't real. And then I was like, oh yeah, that's actually real. That's very interesting. I think it's hilarious.
Could you imagine being a Jets fan right now?
No, I can't. I just think Aaron Rodgers is hilarious, like his mannerisms and the way he talks. I don't know if I could ever see him give any type of like speech, or can you imagine Aaron Rodgers all of a sudden on the stage in a vice presidential debate?
I don't know why you would ever give up making a boatload of money to just play quarterback in the National Football League to go try to be the vice president. I'm not super into politics like a lot of people are. The vice presidency doesn't seem like a very fun gig to me.
No,
Especially when you've been the center of attention for so long, like Aaron Rodgers has been. You're going to go take a back seat and be the VP and give the puff speeches. Something doesn't add up here, buddy.
politically, it used to be where they buried people. Like this appeases them and gets them out of the limelight. They're just going to bury you as the vice president. Whenever I saw that, I did a double take, and I thought it was interesting.
What is his cap number this year? Is this really just the Jets? Because there's been a lot of reports. Diana Rossini from The Athletic, I remember she wrote that piece basically just laying out all the dysfunction that was going on there in the Jets organization. And Rodgers was at the center of a lot of it. Is this the Jets' way of trying to get out of that contract? That seems
Perhaps
like an interesting way to go about it.
he's got a $17 million cap hit. Now he's got a big dead cap hit.
His dead cap hit in 2024 is $66 million. Oh. What happens to that? I don't know the salary cap well enough. What happens to that if the player takes a break to go run for vice president?
So you think, oh, maybe they can free up $66 million. I don't know. I don't know how that works, but just a fascinating situation.
Would you rather watch Aaron Rodgers play football, or would you rather watch him actually try to be the vice president? I guess you could do both.
That's what I was wondering. We've seen dual sport athletes, we're playing in the baseball playoffs and then, playing football, Dion. I think he could handle both.
Could you imagine they play the Patriots and in the post-game press conference, Mr. Vice President, how do you feel about the Red Sea situation right now? Could you imagine just how absurd that would be?
It would fit perfectly with with what's going on in the United States right now. If the clown show would continue, it would be great.
Oh my gosh. We'll see. That is one of your better winners and losers ever. That is fantastic.
And I'm just saying, I hope this isn't too bad of a thing to say, but they're not giving RFK Jr. Secret Service detail. He may find himself as the president should they win pretty
Oh,
quickly,
I've never edit this podcast, and I may need to edit that out so the government doesn't show up at your door.
Yeah, probably right.
Let's
Probably
get
right.
to my winner and loser. But first, attention business owners, you need Insurica in your life. Insurica is one of the country's largest insurance brokers with 30 offices throughout Oklahoma, Texas, and the Southwest. Insurica is able to customize programs by accessing the latest information from many insurance carriers. They compare and contrast coverage offerings and pricing in order to design a cost-effective, comprehensive program to meet your business's specific needs. If your business partners with Insurica, you'll save huge amounts of money and take back control of your total cost of risk. If your business wants to be best in class, connect with Insurica at insurica.com. That's insurica.com.
And head to opolisclothing.com for our podcast merchandise and the best OU gear out there. That's opolisclothing.com. Use promo code TED, TED, for 10% off. That's opolisclothing.com. Use promo code TED for 10% off. Buttery soft and 10% off.
For my winner of the week, thought about going with Derrick Henry. Now, I hate when guys that are kind of attached to a franchise, like I will always think Tennessee Titans. Well, actually, I'll probably think Sugar Bowl. Who the hell is that freshman running back for Alabama? I'll probably always think that for Derrick Henry. But other than that, I'll think Tennessee Titans because he just had such a fantastic run there. But I don't think there will ever be a cooler looking player in the history of football than Derrick Henry in a Baltimore Ravens jersey.
Just unbelievable. Visor, all black.
All black, those all black jerseys that they have with the tinted visor, just looking like a creative player on Madden. He's getting 2 years, $16 million, could be worth up to $20 million with some incentives. Ravens led the league in rushing last year. And it's not like Derrick Henry's washed. He's coming off another 1,000-yard year.
Yeah. That's going to be a dangerous backfield.
Him and Lamar Jackson. Can you imagine some of the run schemes you could come up with those two guys? And I know that he's, I think, what it'll be year nine for Derrick Henry next season. But all I know is defenses are going to look back there and go, oh, no.
Yeah.
Having those two guys in the same backfield, whew, that's going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah. When I first saw it on Twitter, someone already had the edit, you know, with him wearing the Ravens uniform. I was like, it looked so natural. You know, I was like, that looks amazing. And it's going to be fun though, man. The running back market got hot all of a sudden yesterday, didn't it?
Yeah. Like 10 of them went.
Yeah.
And now they're not getting paid a ton of money, but the guys were moving and signing. So it was a fun day for if you're following the running back position. But my winner of the weekend, not weekend, it's the week. Kirk Cousins. All that dude does is get paid. 4 years, $180 million with $90 million fully guaranteed in Atlanta. How funny will it be if Kirk Cousins becomes the face of Atlanta sports? I mean,
oh, they just, it's like the exact opposite. They do not match up, but
just put the chains around him, man. Have him do the dance. Yeah. They'll love it.
I remember when he signed. I think this is right. It could be wrong. It's the first one that I remember. The first, like, fully guaranteed contract in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
And pretty much everything that he's done since has been fully guaranteed. And that dude has made a killing year after year after year. That man has made a lot of money in the NFL.
4 years, $180 million with the Falcons, $90 million fully guaranteed. Not too shabby for a, what is he, 35-year-old? That's coming off a torn Achilles. And this is, some people may look at that set of circumstances and go, why would they do this? And I think it's pretty simple. You got a new coaching staff there. The Falcons have weapons. They do. Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts. I think that organization looks at it and goes, we need to find out if these guys we've got are legit or not. Mm-hmm. And who's going to make good decisions with the football and get these guys the football on time so we can find out if these are guys we should pay a boatload of money moving forward.
Yep.
Kirk Cousins is that guy, man. And he was playing arguably the best football of his entire career before he popped his Achilles.
Yeah. I mean, you're not, I like the way you put it. I mean, you don't really look at the number for Kirk Cousins. You're paying him to bring the best out of your other guys. You're not paying Kirk Cousins to go out there and be a Lamar Jackson playmaker, right? Just get the football to our dudes. And yeah, you're right. That's what he does. He's clean. He's efficient, smart with the football. He's a good leader, good locker room guy.
He's a professional.
That's it.
The chops at Kohl's. I mean, that's who he is, but he is going to be professional. He's going to, you know exactly what you're going to get from him. And if you're Raheem Morris and it's your second go around as a head coach, you're feeling a lot better about having Kirk Cousins than you're feeling about having Desmond Ridder as your quarterback.
You know what you get. You know what you're going to get.
And there's value in that.
Yeah. You may like the ceiling with Kirk Cousins. It ain't Patrick Mahomes. It ain't Burrow. It's not some of these guys, but the floor is about as high as you can get. You know, that's a good place to be.
Any idea who the Falcons' new offensive coordinator is under Raheem Morris?
No.
How about former Oklahoma State quarterback Zach Robinson? He's been out in LA learning from Sean McVay. So he's bringing that McVay system, what they've been running there with the Rams for a long time now. He's bringing that down to Atlanta, and I would assume that they look at what Stafford has been able to do in that system, the type of player he is, and I don't think anyone's going to try to say that Cousins has the arm that Stafford has or even has the same, you know, kind of athleticism that Stafford has, but he's not that far off. Yeah. So you combine that with the weapons, they can get the offensive line situation pieced together. Kirk Cousins could be putting up some numbers, man. I'm excited to see it. I know that.
No, I am too. Yeah, I think that's going to be fun.
My loser of the week. Because remember, it's not the weekend. It's the week. New York Giants fans. That's got to be so painful. Saquon Barkley signs a 3-year contract for $37.75 million with $26 million guaranteed in Philadelphia. And listen, I'm not here to really debate whether that's too much money to invest in a free agent running back. I haven't even really thought about that. Maybe the Giants were smart not to give him that type of money. And it doesn't sound like they even offered Saquon Barkley a contract from some of the stuff that I've read. But if you're a Giants fan, how brutal is it that at least he's appeared to be the most popular Giant to me for quite some time? Your most loved player is now playing for a division rival who's been winning a lot more games than you anyways. That hurts if you're a Giants fan, especially if Saquon Barkley just goes off for the Eagles.
And he might.
That's true sports pain right there. Watching the guy that you love playing for your team go somewhere else and ball out, and it just happens to be in the division. That is the Giants faithful have a chance to be in sports hell 2 times a year if Saquon Barkley just roasts them. That's not a good situation for them, man. I don't know if they paid him too much money or not. I love watching that guy play. He's actually played a lot of games despite what some people think about his health.
Yeah, he fought it early, you know, but it's been better for him. I got to tell you, the Giants may be like the most forgettable team in the NFL right now.
Do you think it has anything to do with them paying Daniel Jones like he's an all-pro?
Sure.
Usually not great.
No. Usually not great.
And now their star running back, when you think New York Giants, who do you think? The last 5 years, what player do you think of?
Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. That's my point. And now he plays for the Eagles.
There's no one else.
There's.
When you originally said when you think of the Giants, I was about to throw some names at you because I got a bunch of Giants. I used to love the Giants when I was a little kid. But yeah, they've just been so forgettable. It's wild.
They've got Daniel Jones as their quarterback and Saquon, who I still think has some good football left in him, is in Philly. Giants fans have to be hurt.
Yeah. They're probably hurting right now. They're going to be pissed off tomorrow. Like, the anger is going to be coming out. They may riot.
They're gonna shift to a new stage of the grieving process.
Yeah, at least they can watch the Knicks, you know. Oh, well,
Oh
no,
man.
they stink too.
Well, at least they can watch the Nets because everyone cares about the Nets. I can't even say that with a straight face.
Do they still have a team?
Oh wow. Birthday shout outs. We're over here talking a big game with how good the Thunder are playing, huh?
I know it. I know it.
Number one seed in the West. Let's go. Although Jalen Williams rolled the ankle, not playing against the Pacers. That game's going on right now. So hopefully that ankle gets right. We love you, J-Dub. Birthday shout outs. Happy 10th birthday to Huck Tiger Gregory.
I like that. Happy 10th birthday to Devereaux Vivily Newton.
I think you nailed that. And happy 47th birthday to Charles Edward Pierce III. Okay, I got to redo that. I feel like I have to do some type of snooty accent.
I think that sounds like someone who did he win the US Open one year?
Charles Edward Pierce III. That's how I feel like I have to say that.
That's right.
On that note, episode 404 in the books. We'll have a new podcast that'll drop on Sunday. Just a reminder, please subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Hope you all have a great rest of your week. Have an awesome weekend. Until next time, we appreciate you all for listening. Do we always do, Oklahoma? Take care of each other.
Just one more time.